This week we're going to be reading Parshas Mishpatim, and in addition, Parshas Shkolim, which begins the series of four Parshios which serve as a preparation for the holiday of Purim and the holiday of Pesach. In Likutei Halachos, there are beautiful explanations regarding each one of these Dalet Parshios, Parshas Shkolim, Parshas Zohar, Parshas Porah, and Parshas Achodesh. We're going to try to cover some points regarding the topic of Parshas Shkolim. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was so great at Tzaddik that after the Jews stood at Har Sinai and received the Torah from Hashem and committed ourselves to a complete relationship with Hashem, shortly afterwards we got involved with the golden calf, with idol worship, which angered Hashem terribly, to the point where Hashem wanted to destroy the entire Jewish nation. Moshe Rabbeinu went to bat. He was mispalel. The pasuk says, Vayechal Moshe es pnei Hashem alikov. He pleaded, he begged with Hashem, until he succeeded not only in getting Hashem to forgive us, but in getting Hashem to give us two incredible gifts that were the result of that yirida, that tremendous fall that we took. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to turn it around and use it as an opportunity for Hashem to reveal the 13 attributes of kindness, the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachmim, so that by mentioning these words, these special words, this formula, the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, a person could invoke a level of kindness of Hashem that could surpass any sins that a person might have done, any midas hadin, any judgment, any gzeirois, any decree chas v'shalom against the person. This would be able to eliminate that. Interesting to note, some people question this by saying that when we talk about the attributes of kindness of Hashem, is it enough just to say them? If we're talking about the kindness of Hashem, isn't that something that we're supposed to emulate? I know what showing kindness is. Talking about kindness, what's that all about? And it's interesting to note that one of the Mefarshim, one of the commentaries, points out that the Torah says, Kel horeis alonu lomar shlosh esrei. Hashem has taught us to say the 13 attributes of kindness. In what manner did Hashem teach us that? The answer is because some of those 13 are certainly things we can emulate. Rav Chesed, Emes, Rachum, Chanun. But the first one of those 13 attributes, Kael, we cannot be Kael. We cannot do Kael. Kael is Hashem, literally. Kael is one of the names of Hashem, literally. So therefore, the pasuk says, Kael, this one of the 13 attributes shows us, Hoirei Salonu teaches us, that not only does a Jew want to try to emulate Hashem's kindness in action, but Loimar Shlosh Esrei, that just reciting, saying these 13 attributes of kindness, that also affects a major, major response from Hashem. The Arizal teaches us, in the case of these 13 attributes of kindness, just as in the case of the Ktores, the 11 spices, holy spices that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash, that on Yom Kippur went into the Holy of Holies, the Arizal says that when a person says these slowly, carefully, and actually counts them while they're saying it, they count them on their fingers, this adds importance to it, and this makes it even more effective than just saying it. There is a debate among different opinions as to what are the exact 13 attributes of kindness. Because if you count the words there, there's more than 13 words. And what about the Hashem, Hashem, that precedes those 13? In the Chumash it says, Vayavra apana vayikra, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum v'chanun. There's a lot of discussion about this in the Gemara, in the Talmud Bavli, in the Yerushalmi, in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chasidus. The Arizal says that those two Hashems, Hashem, Hashem, are not part of the 13 attributes of kindness. It begins from Kale. Kale is number one. Rachum, V'chanun is number three. Erech is number four. Apayim is number five. Even though most people would say, hold on, I thought Erech Apayim goes together. It's in Hebrew, it's one term. The Arizal discusses this and shows how each one of these is an independent one of the 13 attributes of kindness. The next two words, Virav Chesed, are one of the attributes. Notzer Chesed is an attribute. Lo Alofim is an attribute. Nosei Ovon is an attribute. Vofesha is an attribute. Vachato, and then Venake. Those are the 13 attributes. Some of the Siddurim have this delineated. If a person knows it that way, it's great. If not, certainly at least to spend, to slam the brakes a little bit when we're saying these words, to know that this is an extraordinary holy formula to invoke Hashem's kindness. So that's one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu brought us as a result of the Egel. The second was connection to Hashem via the Holy Mishkan, that Hashem was willing to establish residence down below on earth in a physical structure, in the Mishkan. V'osuli mikdosh v'shochanti b'socham. One specific nekuda that relates to Parsha Shkolim. As part of the initiation of the Mishkan, and this also took place every single year on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Be'echod ba'ador mashmiim al ha'shkolim. On Rosh Chodesh Adar, an announcement would be made for every single Jew to come and join, become a member, an official member of the Mishkan by paying their membership dues, which was this half shekel, machatzis ha'shekel. The word chatzi means half. The word machatzis means half. And letters in the Torah are $1 billion a piece, and that's bargain prices. So the question is, why does the Torah use this word machzis? And there are beautiful chidushim in the different Sforim HaKadoshim. One of the most classic ones is that Hashem is called the tzaddik of the world, tzaddikoi shel olam. The Torah teaches us that in order for a Jew to be connected to Hashem, connected to Torah, we saw in last week's parsha, Parshas Yisro, that the Jewish people made it perfectly clear that we cannot be connected to Hashem without the help of Moshe Rabbeinu, without the tzaddik. And to the degree that a person, a Jew, is zeicher to come close to the tzaddik, he's coming close to Hashem, because Hashem himself is called tzaddik. So for this, the Mefarshim point out an incredible thing. If you take a look at the word machzis, the middle letter, the center, is tzaddik. The two letters that are close to the tzaddik are ches yud, which is chai, living, alive. The two letters that are distant from the tzaddik in the word machzis, mem tov, is meis. That this concept of the machzis hashekel, this mitzvah of tzedakah to the Mishkan, the highest forms of tzedakah are building structures for Hashem, a Mishkan, a Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara tells us today that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and a Mishkan. The closest thing to it are the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos, our shuls and our study centers. The Torah places tremendous significance on money. The Torah tells us that if a poor man borrows a sum of money from a wealthier person, and the wealthy person, in order to be sure that the poor person is going to return it, he takes something as collateral. He takes the person's pillow or blanket as collateral, because he knows that that's pretty important to the person. And if the person said, I'm going to return this to you by 7 o'clock tonight or 9 o'clock tonight, and the wealthy person wants to be sure he's going to get his money back, he knows that just in case the guy forgets, when he's about to lay down to sleep and he sees there's no pillow, there's no blanket, he's going to remember, hey buddy, you better return the $25 or the $250 so you get a good night's sleep. So the Torah warns the wealthy person that if the poor person doesn't have the money to return at that time, and you know that he needs the article, then make sure that you give it to him back. Lend it to him for the night. The pasuk says, Ki elav hu noisei es nafshoi. His soul is connected to that money. His soul has an act, his nefesh, his soul, his body, his life. Nefesh means the life, the soul, is attached to his possessions. When we talk about a person being moiser nefesh, giving up his life for Hashem, when a Jew takes a shekel out of his pocket, he takes a dollar, he takes a unit of money, and gives that to tzedakah, gives it to a shul, gives it to a Talmud Chacham, gives it to a poor person, he's giving part of himself. He's giving part of his nefesh. In the Kriya Shema, we say, b'chol nafshecha u'v'chol miyodecha. We put those two together. My life, my money. A person would say, whoa, there should be 10 pages of separation between my life and money. We know that, unfortunately, there are people who, when threatened, your money or your life, they will definitely risk their life to save their money. But again, we see that there's a significance to this. So the Torah teaches us in this Machtzis HaShekel that one of the most important places where a person would want to contribute, just like when it came to the Mishkan, a person would say, the Mishkan is a house. I can, my friend is building a house too. I can give to the synagogue, I can give to my friend. I know he needs money to finish his house. Are they equal? Are they the same? We know they're not the same. If a Jew prays at home, the prayer doesn't compare in any way to that same exact prayer being said in a synagogue, even when there isn't a minyan, even if there isn't a quorum of 10. Just being in such a holy place. So too among people, people are not all the same. And the difference, Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Moran that one of the important connections to the tzaddik is tzedakah. A person who's willing to take part of themselves, their money, which is something that means so much to them, and to share that with the tzaddik, that's one of the things that forms a very, very important connection. And this is part of the message that we see in this Machtzis HaShekel, this half shekel that each Jew donated to the Mishkan, this concept of the focus on the tzaddik, those who are close to the tzaddik, are referred to as chai, living spiritually, and a person who chas v'shalom distances himself from the tzaddik, just like Hashem is referred to as chai hachayim, Hashem is the source of life, the tzaddikim are referred to as tzaddik chai almen. They are the vehicle, the pipes, through which Hashem channels life into the world. Life and sustenance comes via the tzaddikim. That's one of the messages. And we find, interestingly, here we showed the letters that are close to the tzaddik, the chai, the letters that are distant from the tzaddik, the mace. There's another place in the Torah where these same four letters appear in the opposite format. When the Jews stumbled into committing sins with the daughters of Moab as a result of Bilam and Balak combining forces and trying to do everything they could to curse the Jews, and when they saw that failed, Bilam came up with plan B, plan X, the real plan to be able to break the connection between the Jewish people and Hashem, which is to get the Jews, chas v'shalom, to stumble, to commit sins with non-Jewish women. And the Torah says that this invoked the anger of Hashem, major anger, which was softened when one of the great tzaddikim, Pinchas, jumped up, took a spear, and killed one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Zimri ben Soli, the leader of the tribe of Shimon, the leader of a tribe of 24,000 Jews. He killed him, and he killed the non-Jewish woman that he was with, and he did it in such a way to show all the Jews. The Gemara describes the miracles, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the miracles that took place in this act that Pinchas committed, to appease the anger of Hashem. And in fact, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, the Pasuk says, Hashem praises him for this, and says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv es chamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He succeeded in removing my anger from the Jewish people. The word for anger is chamosi. The word chamosi, you have the letters mace, mem tof, in the center. The letters mem tof are together. The ches yud are far apart. The letters that are closer, the mem tof, the mace. The letters that are apart are the chai, showing that this item, anger, when Hashem gets angry, and lahavdil, when a human being gets angry, it's mace. It results in death. The Arizal says that we know that every sin in the Torah puts a blemish, a stain on the soul of the Jew, except one. There's one sin that's different. It doesn't stain the soul of a Jew, it shreds it. Today we have electronic shredders. You have a piece of paper, an 8x11, 8x14, whatever it is. You want to make sure that nobody's going to see what's on it. You drop it in the shredder, which turns it into a million tiny little pieces of paper that can never be pasted back together. The Arizal says the shredder of a Jewish soul is kas, anger. When a person allows themselves to lose control, chas v'shalom, to break barriers, to break a dish in anger, to say things that they would never say unless they were in a state of anger, chas v'shalom, the pasuk says, toyreif nafshoi be'apoi. A person tears, that's the wording that's used, toyreif, tears up their soul with anger. So this is the machtzis, the closeness to the tzaddik, the connection to the tzaddik, which gives a person life, the distance from the tzaddik, chas v'shalom, which is the opposite of life. And then there's this kas, there's anger. We know that what causes Hashem to be angry is when there's a lack of faith. The Gemara says, kol zman sheyesh avodah zara boilam, when there's idol worship in the world, charoi naf boilam, then there's the anger of Hashem in the world. Idol worship means lack of faith. It's the opposite of pure faith in Hashem. We say visartem in Shema, visartem, you will turn away from Hashem. Any degree of turning away from Hashem is vavadetem elokim acherim, is turning in the towards the direction, chas v'shalom, of idol worship. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, the Hebrew word, another Hebrew word for anger is charon af. Charon af means anger. Moshe, mem shin hei, 345, is the numerical value of charon af, to show that it's the true tzaddikim who are the ones who teach us faith in Hashem. They are the ones who are best qualified to share with us their faith in Hashem, and they're the ones who can teach a person to acquire the midos toivos, the qualities, the qualification that a person needs to be zeicha, to stay far away from kas, anger, and all the other midos rois. Another very, very critical message in this machtzis, in the building of the Mishkan, building this residence for Hashem, the Mishkan was a forerunner for the Beis HaMikdash. We know that we had first Beis HaMikdash, which we had for hundreds of years, was destroyed eventually. We're told that it was destroyed as a result of three sins. The first was idol worship, we just spoke about. In addition to that, adultery, which we spoke about, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Domim, murder. That destruction lasted 70 years, and then Kaviochel Hashem was appeased, and Hashem gave us a Beis HaMikdash back. Hashem gave us the privilege of building a new Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. That lasted also hundreds of years, and was taken away from us as a result of one sin, sinas chinam, unwarranted, unjustified hate and negativity between Jews. We had a few weeks ago in Parsha Shmos, where Moshe Rabbeinu, who was raised in the house of Paro, he was raised in an Egyptian home, he goes out and he sees an Egyptian trying to kill a Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and kills the Egyptian. The next day, he goes out and he sees two Jews killing each other. He sees two Jews fighting. These were Dasan v'Aviram, we're told. And he sees it And he says, Rosho, lomo sakareyecha. Rosho, why are you striking your friend? And the Torah says he saw the person lift up his hand, not even hitting. The moment he lifted up his hand, a Jew lifts up a hand to another Jew, Rosho. He's called Rosho just for that alone. And the response was, are you saying this to kill me like you killed the Mitzri yesterday? I'll fix you. So this Dosan Vaviram revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that no one had witnessed that. No one had seen him kill the Egyptian. Now they revealed to him that they did see it and that they were about to go snitch on him. They were the ones who went to power. They were the ones who were going to publicize what he did. Now Moshe Rabbeinu sees strife between Jews. Now he sees Jew against Jew. He sees Dosan Vaviram fighting, and he sees they're ready to turn him in. Moshe Rabbeinu says right after that, Ochein noda hadovor. Now I realize. Now I understand. Now I have the answer to my question. So Rashi HaKodesh says there, quoting the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu had a big question. Why? Why a Jewish Holocaust? Why an Inquisition? Why are the Jews different from all other nations of the world? You want to talk about other nations that had suffered? It's micro compared to what the Jewish people have gone. I'm not saying other people haven't suffered. They suffered, but you can't compare it to the consistent crushing and recrushing and extermination and inquisition by fire, by water, by gas, using every material in the world to destroy Jews. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu said, now I have the answer. The answer is machloket. The answer is machloket, sinas chinam, lack of unity in the Jewish people. This is the answer. This is what Rashi HaKodesh says in Chumash. So the Meforshim tell us that when it comes to building a Mishkan, when it comes to having a sanctuary that can house Hashem, Hashem made it perfectly clear to every one of us, you're half. No Jew can ever say, I am it, I am a whole. We're a half. Every Jew, the wealthiest Jew, the poorest Jew. This means wealth financially, wealth religiously, wealth in brains. Every Jew is a half. They need another Jew to complete themselves. They need a wife, they need a chavrusa, they need a child, they need a student. No Jew stands alone. Hashem Echod, Hashem is one. Every single one of us, together with someone else, we have the potential to make a whole. We should be zecha to study the Torah, to study every word, every letter of the Torah that has in it advice, guidance, to improve us, to perfect us, and to give us the clarity that we need to know what it's going to take to build the third and final Beis HaMikdash and to bring about the coming of Moshiach, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.